TV theme Thursday, a little Three's Company for you. Late great Suzanne Summers passing away.
Oh, that's right. Forgot about that.
That's why we had to do that, for sure.
Yep. Oh, man. What a great show.
It's a funny one.
Mr. Farley or the Ropers? It's tough. It's okay if you choose both.
Yeah, probably both.
Okay.
I mean, look, they're both really good. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Let's bring in Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, who joins us every Thursday at 9:30 to talk Preds and NHL. Greg, what's up?
I'm good, man. I think we just got a glimpse at what sports talk radio was in the early 1980s with the Furleys or Mr. Roper. the Ropers versus Mr. Furley, a good debate. But, yeah, it's been interesting. Like, that show was so ubiquitous for a certain generation because of reruns, right? Like, I certainly wasn't around for the first run of it. But it was always on, like, you know, your local Fox affiliate or TBS for a while, and just became kind of a thing.
Yeah, if you were a kid of the 80s, Greg, you know, you got HBO and you'd watch like Red Dawn. I don't remember seeing Red Dawn in the theater, but I watched it a billion times on HBO, and those shows all become so beloved, so you're exactly right.
Yeah, and the problem is that then you start, you know, you still make references to them in 2023, knowing that literally no one is going to understand when you say, Patrick Swayze taught me you have to drink the deer's blood after you kill it in order to ingest its spirit, which is one of the great lessons that Red Dawn gave us. But
yes,
again, in 2023, how many people, first of all, how many people are getting that reference in like 1990
right,
versus how many people are getting that reference in 2023? But that's the play. You know, this is what happens. There's so much stuff in this dumb brain of mine that is just retained from pop culture, and it's relevant to maybe three people on the planet.
So you, before we get into the Preds, I was reading your article you put out on ESPN Plus earlier about what judging NHL overreactions after 1 week of the 23-24 season, and I love these things because I think it's probably safe to say that just about any reaction is an overreaction at this point. But you know, I think like your first one with the Devils, a team that, you know, you're right there with, can't recapture the Magic. You call that an overreaction right now. I still think that's a really good hockey team.
I do too. And you know, it's funny, the overreactions, some of them actually come true. Like,
yeah.
And we find out at the end of the season that they weren't overreactions. I was looking at last year's column, and one of them was, you know, reports of the Bruins' demise have been greatly exaggerated, and then they go and, like, have the best regular season of all time. So, I mean, it's funny how some of these things actually do play out. In the case of the Devils, you can tell that there's a certain – there's two things weighing on them right now. One is obviously the weight of expectations. You know, a lot of people had them maybe even coming out of the East this year after taking the step they took last season, the increase in points and then beating the Rangers in the playoffs. Like, they were amongst the three or four teams out of the Eastern Conference that people were looking at as a potential, you know, Stanley Cup finalist. And I'm sure that those expectations weigh on them. And the second thing is, from a logistics standpoint, they lost two good veteran defensemen from their blue line. They lost Damon Severson, who they traded to Columbus, and they lost Ryan Graves, who signed with the Pittsburgh Penguins. And while neither of those guys is exactly Roman Josi back there, they're both really good at a couple of things. And one of them is breaking out passes to lead the Devils into their transition game where they were dominant last year. So I think they're kind of learning a little bit about life without those guys. They haven't looked like themselves, but I'm with you, man. Like, I think they're going to be all right.
You have won. Is this another wasted season of McDavid's and Draisaitl's primes? I just saw them firsthand Tuesday night when they put a six spot up on the Predators, and I can tell you, watching them live, as I know you've seen them, I mean, they're special, and I think that's a really good team in the Edmonton Oilers. But I think it's a fair question to ask, because we've thought they were a really good team for the last several years, and they don't have a cup to show for it.
Now, is Leon Draisaitl formally listed as one of the owners of the Predators, or does he just like own them informally?
I think he owns them informally.
Yeah. So the thing about the Oilers and their first three games are kind of like indicative of the plight of these two guys. You know, they really get manhandled by the Vancouver Canucks in their first two games. And then you see them against the Predators, and it's like a totally different team. in the sense that they get a great supporting cast performance, and then they also get good, really good goaltending from Jack Campbell. And so, you know, there are certain things they're going to need in order to become that Stanley Cup contender that they want to be. And you know, you start to wonder whether it's going to come together for them this season or if it's going to be another year where McDavid and Dreisaitl are left wanting more. I like the fact that they've got this kind of Fogel, Nugent Hopkins, Hyman line seems to be playing well. They do need either Skinner or Jack Campbell to give them a performance in the playoffs that's, you know, not stealing a series, but certainly not losing a series. And then overall, defensively, they just have to get better. You know, even McDavid and Dreisaitl need to be better in that category, despite how good they are. So we'll see if it comes together. But, I mean, the overreaction early is, you know, the same sort of inconsistencies that we see from this team year after year seem to still be there. And if that's the case, then we might be robbed again of Dreisaitl and McDavid playing for a cup.
Talking to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN.
All right, Greg, most pro coaches that I talk to like to, especially the NFL, like to break the season down in quarters after four games, eight games on that. You know, with the NHL, it's 20 games, and you know a lot can be said those 20 games. But at what point, when you start out of the gate so slow, does it become like, oh, this team has got a long way to go? Is it that quarter point, the 20 games, or can you look now and say, oh, man, this isn't – what they're doing now is not good?
It's usually the 20-game mark, which was sort of interesting to see teams already – kind of panicking a little bit. Like the Tampa Bay Lightning, John Cooper, their coach, who I mentioned in the column, you know, called their game against Buffalo critical the other day. That's like their third game of the season. You know? And so, you know, he's under some unique pressure in the sense that, you know, his best goalie, Andrei Vasilevsky, is out with an injury for 2 months. And, you know, there's all this stuff with Stamkos off the ice and him not having a contract. And it's a different vibe with Tampa Bay than it's been for the last several seasons. So you can kind of feel maybe Coop's trying to like light a fire under these guys, but you know, it's different pressures for different teams. I think the 20 game mark is usually when teams are going to take a serious look at what they have and what they've done, but you're already kind of feeling it in certain places. I mean, whether it's the wins and losses or simply just wanting guys to play a certain way. I think, you know, for example, Rick Tocchet called out the Vancouver Canucks the other day for playing soft in a loss to the Flyers. And that's a coach really trying to emphasize how he wants them to play and not seeing it and calling them out pretty quickly in order to try to change that course.
I know you can't deal. The schedule is what it is. The Preds had to go to Boston, and now they play in New York. How critical would it be, though, to go up there and get this big win against the Rangers? You know, these young guys in that iconic setting at Madison Square Garden, I think that would go a long way for this hockey team, confidence-wise, if they got a victory tonight.
Yeah, it's super critical. I'll be at that game tonight, by the way. I'm interested to see what the Preds look like under Andrew Brunette. And I'm reminded, by the way, that the first time I ever talked to Andrew Brunette as a head coach was at MSG right after he took over for Joel Quenneville in Florida, which was obviously a much different situation than him taking over in Nashville for a lot of reasons. So I'm interested to see how they're going to play against the Rangers team that is clearly one of the better ones in the East. You know, a veteran team that's been together for a while under Peter Laviolette now as their head coach and with, you know, one of the best goalies on the planet, Igor Shesterkin. So, yeah, it's important for them to you know, continue to progress forward, to recover from a pretty you know, stout loss against Edmonton. And you know, you want to start to see a little bit more of an offensive uptick from certain guys in the roster. And see what this Brunette system is actually going to play out as this season.
Talking to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, and yeah, I'm curious. So, of how many times you've gotten to talk to him or listen to him? Because I know in his press conferences, I've been very impressed after games, especially whether it's a win or a loss, in the detail that he goes into on things that he saw throughout the course of the game. And I mean, he doesn't mince words either. I mean, he was talking the other night that he goes, I feel like we didn't play as poorly as the score shows, but we're still not wanting to do a lot of the little things like getting in the greasy areas and scoring goals that way. And those are the things that we need to do. And I appreciate that honesty, and the players that I've talked to seem to appreciate it too.
Yeah, and that was the big thing in Florida. You know, he was there as an associate coach under Quenneville and then took over when Quenneville resigned. And, you know, his calling card was to be that player's coach, you know, to be the guy who had open communication with the guys on the ice, and I think it's been kind of his calling card as being a head coach. And you know, in the times I've interacted with him, as a head coach in the media, he's always been pretty candid about, you know, what the team is doing, what it's not doing. He sort of doesn't have a filter to that end. But you know, he's an interesting guy. You know, I don't know if we've talked about it in the past, but he was a guy that didn't always know he was going to be on this track to be a head coach. He was an executive for a while with the Minnesota Wild. He was kind of just trying to figure out what it is he wanted to do, and then he came aboard the staff in Florida, and then, you know, when the Quenneville thing happened, was kind of thrust into that role as a head coach. And then I guess he kind of found the track because he became an associate coach with Jersey and orchestrated their power play, and then obviously took this opening. So it's an interesting thing when, you have guys that retire and it seems like their destiny is to be behind the bench or be in the front office. And then you have guys that sort of have to figure it out. And clearly there's something about coaching that he's really been drawn to, and he's good at it. So why not?
So with the Rangers tonight, Peter Laviolette, do you feel like that's ultimately going to work with that roster, with, you know, guys like Panarin and Trocheck and Zibanejad, you know, that Laviolette and his style, and we know that style very well here in Nashville, that, you know, after a while it does kind of wear thin, but do you think it'll work on the bright lights of Broadway?
Well, like you said, I mean, it wears thin, but not usually in year one. And that usually goes for him and for other coaches of his ilk. You know, his hiring there was just kind of like a bummer a little bit because they fired Gerard Gallant rather spectacularly after they were beaten by the Devils in the playoffs. And there was, you know, a lot of questions about, okay, well, if it's not Gallant behind the bench, who do you have in mind? And you know, there was names like Quenneville thrown around and others thrown around. And then Hines came up, yeah. And then they end up bringing Laviolette in. It's kind of like, oh, so this is like the guy who's now on his, you know, fifth or sixth team that you're bringing in to coach what should be potentially a Stanley Cup contender. And there was sort of a little deflating feeling, I think, when they ended up settling on Laviolette. And settling is probably the word for it. But that being said, I mean, you know, he takes – it's not so much what he's going to do for the team or not do for the team. It's the team that he's taking over. I mean, this is, you know, you look around the NHL and you think of teams like Carolina, for example, and Vegas, for example, and maybe Dallas is a good example of teams that just seem like they've had the same roster for like the last three seasons. And the Rangers are kind of one of those teams where this group in particular, and there have been some additions here and there, like Trocheck you just mentioned, this group in particular has kind of just been together now for the last couple of seasons. And that core is good and their defense is good. And they obviously have Shesterkin back there. So if nothing else, I'm really curious whether a group that, you know, maybe has already hit its ceiling can still level up and play for a cup, or if there needs to be some changes internally. Because the real question about the Rangers, and this is nothing I don't think Laviolette's going to help, is whether they're built to play in the NHL in 2023. Like, it's a speed league. The reason they lost to the Devils is because they were skated out of the building in four games of that series. And they don't really have a way to change that because it's built into their DNA. There's no real way to change that right now for the Rangers. And I think that's probably their biggest flaw.
Chase, name those three players again you just said to him. What were their names again?
Artemi Panarin, Vincent Trocheck, and Mika Zibanejad.
Just last name. It sounds like medicine for ED. I was like, what in the world? What in the world's going on there? Greg, I always give the bad question, so I'm curious. You go a lot of games at the Garden. Are the, you know, we always see the celebrities on the front and second row at the Knicks games and the Rangers games, but is it an intelligent crowd that goes to these hockey games up there that know what's going on with this hockey team?
Yeah, there definitely are, and the Ranger crowds are very interesting because you get, you know, diehards that sit upstairs, they come in their jerseys. You've got suits downstairs that are, you know, on their corporate tickets, entertaining clients, and then you get a lot of celebrities, man. Like, it ain't the level you would get at a Knicks game necessarily, but it's definitely you definitely get a few celebrities at these games. I mean, a couple of the actors from Stranger Things end up at the Ranger games. We have had Margot Robbie show up to a Ranger game in a Rangers jersey. Michael J. Fox, like they nice. Do a thing where every game they're showing people on the Jumbotron that they're at these Ranger games, and sometimes it's surprising who they pull. I mean, Timothy Chalamet was at a Ranger game, like a Ranger playoff game. They put him on the Jumbotron, so it's It's not just like the fifth actor from The Sopranos that they get to the Rangers games. Well, it's like actual celebrities sometimes.
Well, the Preds put up one of our hosts on their board and he got booed, so I'm not sure we're going to do that anymore.
I have never seen anybody get booed, and that's saying something because sometimes they do put up like New York athletes, and you figure like the Jets fans would boo the Giants coach or, you know, vice versa,
right.
But it's never like that at the place.
Nice.
Yeah. It's a cool time at the Garden. That is for sure.
Are we going to tell them the nickname we have for him? We're going to let that go.
You can't. It's your nickname. It's not.
Well, you know, we had, Greg, we had Hal Gill was on the day. He was talking about Bruno, and I'm thinking, who the hell's Bruno? And it was a nickname for Andrew Brunette, right? So I had no idea. They all these hockey nicknames that go on. So we were trying to come up with a nickname for you, and Chase says, we'll just call him Wish.
Well, that's it, right? That a lot of people call you that, right?
That is true, yeah. That is sort of the shorthand, but that's mainly because people are afraid of my last name.
Well, I say we embrace it and call you Shawshinky.
Wow.
Right? Like the great movie that nobody saw in the theaters.
That was unexpected.
You're welcome. You can take that from me. I don't mind, buddy.
Well, I like it because, you know, Shawshank essentially is the thing that you find by accident,
yes,
on cable, and then you just like immerse yourself in it. So I think there's probably a parallel to my writing. I have to do. I mentioned this on Twitter before, but like, so Patton Oswalt's coming on the show,
yes,
today.
Sir. Yes, sir. Yep.
So this is hilarious because you know, one of the things that has always been said to me is that, and this is probably just because I have a big moon face and I'm funny, is that people have called me a slightly skinnier Patton Oswalt throughout my life. So I was saying, like, this is probably the closest in proximity I've ever come to him. So I don't know. There may be a rip in the space-time continuum at some point during your conversation with me and him being on the same show so closely together.
Well, we'll let you know how it turns out for sure. Hey, appreciate it as always, my friend, and we'll talk next week.
Anytime.
Thanks. Greg Wyshynski joining us from ESPN. Always a good time with him. We'll have more coming here on the Chase and Big Joe show, but right now, your chance to win a pair of tickets. I got to pull it up because I don't remember which game it is. Predators, and it's Saturday night. Predators and San Jose Sharks, Saturday night at Bridgestone Arena. Caller number 5-615-737-1025 will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Sharks this Saturday, October 21st at Bridgestone Arena. Join in on the fun and help celebrate the 25th anniversary season and 25 years of Smashville. Tickets available at NashvillePredators.com/tickets.